Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Monday, April 10th, a day after a wild game in the NBA. Baseball's underway. We're a couple weeks away from the NBA draft. There's stuff going on in hockey.
Yeah, I hear Boston is doing some historic things.
Yeah, Boston's supposedly doing well. Soccer's going on. So a lot going on. And you're on spring break, so I'm one of the weeks that being a teacher is awesome.
Yeah, it's a good time. You know, sleep in, went on a run. When me and Mom went up to the Bear River Bird Refuge, which if you're in Utah, it's just a place you go and you look at birds, which is something that I enjoy. So
big bird guy.
Yeah, it was a good time.
How would you rate yourself as far as bird law goes?
As bird law?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
If you watched It's Always Sunny, you'd think that was hilarious.
Oh, okay.
But you don't.
I don't. So I'm sorry.
So, I actually don't think you like the show, but it is such a funny show.
Yeah.
Charlie's an expert in bird law.
Oh, okay.
Is why.
I see.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Well, shout out to the people who watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He's so funny. Here's what we're going to talk about today. So mostly the NBA playoffs. I think the first 2 days of the NBA playoffs are as good or better than March Madness. I know I'm the minority on that, which is fair.
Yes, that's fair. Now, do you say 2 days or two rounds?
Days.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And is this including the play-in or after?
I'm just talking Saturday and Sunday, like the first, like 1 through 8.
Just once it gets going.
Yeah, so.
Oh, so you mean more the viewing experience and the basketball. Yeah. I get where you're coming from.
No, it is. Well, yeah. It's also college basketball. There's more basketball for sure, but there's also a bunch of games that are like 20-point wins. I feel like the NBA, it's much higher quality basketball, all four games, even if they're not. Every single game's not going to be a buzzer beater, but it's high quality games.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls are still a good team, you know. So
yeah, so we'll start with that. I don't think we talked about the Bruins doing well. I don't think there's too much. The WNBA draft is today.
Yeah.
So that's noteworthy.
Everybody getting drafted.
Yeah, that's making less money than they probably did in college, from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't think there's too much else. I guess we just dive into the NBA.
Let's do it.
I got a good sports-related top five this week. So not a random one. Very sports-related. So interesting to see how that goes. Well, let's start with the play-in stuff and then go to just kind of the 1 through 6 matchups instead of 1 through 8. Do you want to start the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference?
Let's do the East. I think the East is probably, you know, weirdly the better conference. So okay. Let's start there.
Sweet. Well, let's look at, we'll just walk through kind of the first round, then make our finals picks, or we can do round by round, whatever, however we want to do it. So Miami, Atlanta, 7 and 8, and then 9 and 10 are Toronto and Chicago. I guess let's just start with the first game. I think Miami's going to win that. I know they have some deficiencies, but I'm looking at it, and this is probably oversimplistic, but I trust Jimmy Butler more than Trae Young. And again, that's an oversimplification, but that's what I'm going with.
That's fair. I mean, the Hawks have been good in the playoffs. They got to the conference finals a couple years ago, which is further than the Jazz ever got. And so, yeah, you know, I feel better about the Hawks than you probably do. I'm still picking the Heat. I think they're that much of a better team. And the next round is actually interesting. I think the Raptors are going to beat the Bulls. And then you just kind of get the feeling that whether the Raptors play the Heat or the Hawks, that Nick Nurse might have a couple tricks up his sleeve and be able to pull out a win there.
See, I actually think the Bulls are going to beat the Raptors. And it's mostly because I think, you know, Levine and DeRozan are both averaging over 20 a game. You got Vucevic. Kobe White is playing really well as a point guard. I think the Bulls have, I like their depth better. Obviously, Siakam is probably the best player. But I like the Bulls. And I just like the Bulls, so I'm picking the Bulls. But I do think having two guys who can get their own shot in the playoffs is going to matter a lot.
That is going to be really helpful, yeah.
So, I'm picking the Bulls. I think the Bulls will beat Atlanta and actually be the 8th seed.
Yeah, okay.
That's my thought.
Yeah. Okay, well, I've got the Heat and the Raptors.
So okay.
We'll see.
Well, that was quick. Do you want to go to the West then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, perfect. So West, we got Bleacher Report just pulled a thing up. Okay, so Lakers. Oh, yeah, Lakers and Minnesota. Let's talk about that game. And then New Orleans and Oklahoma City's 9-10. But let's just take a moment to talk about Minnesota, because Sunday was quite the day for them. So, not news, but Rudy Gobert threw a punch at Kyle Anderson. Separately, Jaden McDaniel punched a wall, broke his hand, it sounded like.
Yes.
So, Rudy Gobert suspended for their first game. If they lose, he would play in the second game.
Uh-huh.
From my understanding, well, not my understanding, what happened is Kyle Anderson called him not a nice word multiple times.
Throughout the game,
which prompted Rudy Gobert's punch. And my thought is, if you're getting called that, like,
the B word.
Yeah, multiple times, it's going to be hard to not want to hit the person calling you that.
Yeah, especially because it seems like, from what Woj was reporting, that not only he'd been calling him that throughout the game because Rudy was not blocking shots, he was not playing good defense, and this was a game that Rudy was injured. And, you know, if you're a Jazz fan, you remember that Clippers series. I know we had a big argument about whose fault that was, but the fact is, Rudy Gobert was hurt in that game, and that definitely affected his ability to come out. When Rudy Gobert plays injured, it's great, and I'm happy that he plays, but he's not going to be the defensive player of the year, really.
No.
Yeah. And so I get why he was mad, and I think you're right. Like, even though I'm not really a fighter.
You're not a contentious person, but...
No. But at some point, you got to defend yourself.
You wouldn't be... I don't feel like you'd be in a situation where you'd be getting called that either, though.
Yeah, I'm not as good at basketball as Rudy Gobert.
Well, I just mean, like, in general, like, you're not...
Yeah.
Really provocative, you
Yeah,
know?
And it does seem like there's... It seems like nobody in the NBA likes Rudy Gobert.
No. Did you see the Draymond Green tweet?
I did see that.
So...
That was very clever.
And I don't have the exact tweet pulled up, but we can paraphrase, doesn't matter. So, in, was it July or August, like preseason for the Warriors?
Uh-huh.
Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole, and Rudy Gobert tweeted something like, insecurity is loud or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
That was it.
Like, literally within a few hours. And they've had beef going back. Like, when Rudy Gobert missed the All-Star team in 2020, a few years ago, Draymond Green was making fun of Rudy Gobert for crying. So, they've never liked each other. And then Draymond Green, after Gobert punched Kyle Anderson, tweeted the same thing, insecurity is loud. And it's quite a soap opera. You know, for all things, I think football is the most popular sport. Baseball is a lot of pros. In the Northeast, hockey is a big thing. But no one's ever been able to argue that the NBA doesn't have the best drama.
Oh, yeah. NBA is best drama all the way.
1,000,000%.
All the way.
So funny.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question. Oh, sorry. Were you...
Oh, no, I was just going to say, well, it's so weird that these players don't like Rudy Gobert. Obviously, he's not very skilled offensively, and so maybe that bothers players that he, I don't know. But it's not like the fans are overrating him, so I don't really know why that's a problem. But it's just like we don't see these things that people don't like. I mean, he's called Donovan out a couple of times in the media, but not enough to get the hatred from, like, Draymond Green, for example. So it's very strange.
Do you think if you were the Minnesota owner, GM, whoever's running the show, you would suspend Rudy? Understand it's basically a win or go home situation. Realistically, they'd get another shot, but you don't want to be playing with fire there.
No, I think it's if a player on your team punches another player on your team, you can't not suspend them.
I honestly feel like if... You and our other brother got in a fight, and, like, let's say Jesse threw a punch at you. My first reaction would be, like, Jesse sucks. But if then mom was like, Matt was calling Jesse the B word, I'd be like, oh, then Matt sucks.
Yes.
Like, I think Kyle Anderson is at fault. I literally don't think you can blame Rudy. Multiple times getting called that, you're gonna, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but any person would do that.
Yeah,
any person would throw a punch or fight back.
Yeah, I agree. Based on what we know, it was definitely Kyle Anderson's fault. I don't know, if you don't suspend him, then that sends a message to your team that it's okay to punch each other, and I don't think that leads to a bunch of fights breaking out, but I don't know.
I think you should, honestly, I think Kyle Anderson's one causing problem. I would not suspend Rudy, but fine both of them. Even if you fine Rudy more, because, you know, the one who throws the punch is technically worse, I would fine Kyle Anderson.
That, I think, would be better, yeah, because it's not like Rudy clocked him in the face.
No, he didn't even really connect, which yeah. I know doesn't matter, it's the intent, but he didn't even aim for the face. It was like the shoulder, right. Shasta, basically.
Yeah, like so that. It is, I feel so, and you know, I did see that trade, and it's like, man, I love Rudy so much, and he's not going to be happy in Minnesota. It's going to be, and it really looks like it's going to be a miserable 4 years or whatever it is.
Well, you know who I feel bad for? Well, let's talk Jaden McDaniel real quick. As well, because he's the one who was guarding LeBron. They played a week or two ago, the Lakers in Minnesota, and McDaniel was guarding LeBron. And then when LeBron was sitting, McDaniel would guard D'Angelo Russell. So I think you have Vanderbilt guard LeBron. Like, it just messes with the whole defensive matchup. Plus, right. They don't have a backup center anymore.
Yeah.
So they're just going to play extremely small ball the whole game, or Karl-Anthony Towns is going to play like 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Which that's probably what's going to happen unless he gets like 3 fouls in the first quarter or something like that.
And then the Lakers are going to have Anthony Davis and probably Jared Vanderbilt and LeBron James on the floor at the same time.
No, let's check what the score line is. So the Lakers are favored by 8. I'm surprised it's not more than that, honestly. Yeah. I might bet that right now.
I don't see any way the Lakers don't win this game.
No.
Something would have to go wrong for the Lakers.
The Lakers are they the best 7 seed in playing history? Just because they're way after that trade, which I think they won when they got Vanderbilt and Beasley from the Jazz to get off of Westbrook.
Uh-huh.
They've been one of the best teams in the West. Not the best team, a little inconsistent, but...
Yeah, I mean, wasn't...
Better than their record.
I feel like the Warriors were a 7 seed 1 year, and I know they lost to Memphis that year. I don't know. That team probably had a higher ceiling, although they were definitely hurt.
I mean, I think the Lakers' ceiling is the championship. I don't think they're the favorites, but I think there's a path where they win. Yeah.
They definitely, I don't remember a 7 seed having quite the upward momentum as the Lakers have right now.
Yeah, so we both think Lakers are going to win, which would have them playing the 2-seed Memphis Grizzlies. So let's talk New Orleans, Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't really have nearly as much to say in that game.
Yeah, that was, well, you know, we talk about the Lakers on this huge upswing. The Pelicans have just really plummeted. They were doing so good at the beginning of the season, so for them to be the 9-seed has got to be a huge disappointment. And then the Thunder, you know, they're the 10 seed, but they got all those draft picks, so it doesn't hurt too bad for them making the playoffs. So, I would think, yeah, I mean, neither of these teams have a ton of playoff experience. You know, Thunder obviously having none. I still think I'm probably going to pick the Thunder. I think they have less to lose. There's a lot less pressure on them.
The Thunder have a better offensive and defensive rating. So, I'm going to go with the Thunder.
That seems like a good way to do it.
Yeah. And then I'll probably pick the Thunder to beat Minnesota just because they're so super dysfunctional. Unless it's one of those things where they're so dysfunctional they rally together.
I don't know, man. Yeah,
I'd pick Oklahoma City because McDaniel will still be out for that game. Rudy will be back.
Yeah, I can see Minnesota losing that game. And then do you fire the GM in Minnesota if you're the owner there?
I would have fired him after that trader. I guess just
immediately after.
But you think the owner would have to sign off on that trade, so the owner would be like, you're the one who wanted this. You know, I bet he was, the owner was getting pressure. The GM was getting pressure. Somebody should be fired, and it probably should be the owner, but that's not going to happen. So, yeah. Now, we were talking about this earlier. What coach were we talking about where, and this isn't playoff related, but.
Steven Silas.
Yeah. So 3 years in Houston, fired, and this isn't breaking news, but we were just talking about it earlier today, so I wanted to bring it up. Coaches where, and this happens in the NFL, where you come into a losing situation, like David Culley in Houston got fired after 1 year. What was Houston supposed to do?
I don't know.
They won, I think they went like 4-13 or something like that, which is 4 wins better than their roster was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or I'm blanking on the NFL, the Houston coach who got, oh, Lovie Smith. He was there for 1 year. Houston played tough.
It seems like a Houston problem.
It is a Houston. Oh, yeah. The Rockets are in Houston, too. Yeah. Oh, no, it happens outside of Houston as well, but I think it's so stupid. Like, if you bring in a coach and you know your team's going to suck, it's not fair to fire him. I think it's tough because there's only 30, 32 jobs, whatever, in these respective leagues. But it kind of hurts your resume. So that's why when this is going down a not basketball path, but when Jeff Saturday got the job, remember a lot of people were like, they should have given it to a black guy, which I get, but Bomani Jones was like, just so he can get fired and never coach again and look to have a crappy resume.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying giving it to Jeff Saturday was right, but like, taking that job wasn't going to be good for you, whoever it was.
No, yeah, I would not have been thrilled to have that job.
No, all you're doing is just trying to be, they were trying to be as bad as they could to get a quarterback. And I'm sure Jeff Saturday did his best, but I think he's comfortable because he wasn't a realistic candidate for the head coaching job.
Right.
I don't think, and this is black or white, whoever, like that wasn't going to help you on your resume coaching, losing, going like 1-9 or whatever with the Colts.
No, yeah, that's a...
So, Silas...
He did a little bit better than expected, though, just Saturday, right?
I think they won
the first couple of weeks.
Well, they lost to the Vikings after being up by, like, 5 touchdowns. That wasn't great. No, I think the first 2 or 3 weeks were better than expected, but suboptimal. Yeah. Well, let's go back to basketball. Hopefully, Steven Silas gets a job here. Let's go through... Let's start with the 4-3-6-4-5 because those are set.
Cool.
In the East, we got 4-5 Cleveland, New York. I think we're both gonna pick Cleveland to win that.
Yeah, Cleveland is going to win, and a lot of Knicks fans are gonna be very angry that the Knicks did not pull the trigger for Donovan when they had the chance.
Yeah, the Knicks were like playing chicken because it seemed like they thought that Utah was just going to give Mitchell to Cleveland because that's where Mitchell hypothetically wanted to go. And then Cleveland came in with a really good offer.
Right.
Lauri Markkanen, the rookie Ochobi Achai, the Kansas guy.
Yeah.
He's been awesome.
Been great.
A few draft picks. Colin Sexton, who I love. Yeah. Big fan of Colin Sexton.
It's a nice piece for a rebuild. It's a
good offer. It was never going to be as good as the Rudy offer because the Rudy offer shouldn't have been as good as the Rudy offer.
No, yeah. I think, yeah, as soon as that Rudy offer happened, all the GMs were like, we cannot let Danny Ainge get us with Donovan Mitchell.
But Markkanen was an all-star. Ochobi could, like, point is that's a good trade for Cleveland if Donovan was in New York with Jalen Brunson, who's been really good this year. I think a lot of people, including myself, kind of thought that last season with Dallas was close to his peak.
Right.
And I think he's been as good or better, at least more consistent for a full year in New York.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's had a really good year.
Julius Randle was an all-star. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland's still going to win, though.
Yeah, they got a good team. Yeah, Cleveland is just better. Donovan is... Honestly, I think Donovan's a top 5 player in the NBA right now. He's just been playing so well.
Lights out. I think it's more likely that Cleveland wins in 4 or 5 than it goes to 7.
No, I do not think... Yeah, I would probably say 5 games.
I'd say Cleveland in 5. So that probably means New York's going to win 6.
Yeah.
So, other series there. Philly, Brooklyn.
Oh, that's a great... Look at these first-round matchups. These are fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. Every round, every matchup is sweet.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, Philly's ultimately going to win the series, but my goodness, is that going to be entertaining. Is Simmons going to play? No?
I don't know, man.
I don't even know. Is there any been recent news with that? I tried to just not pay attention to that.
Yeah, I have not paid attention to the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, Mikal Bridges, I think... wins them a game, you know, almost on accident, I think.
I love Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges is great. But, man, I just... As much as I don't like Ben Simmons, it just makes me so sad to talk about him. You know, the way that this has really gone south, I just feel so bad for the guy.
When he was at LSU, it was being talked about as, like, a... Not like LeBron, but, like, a top... player in years. No, I don't want to say generation, but like best player in years type of prospect.
Can you imagine?
Did we not know he could not shoot? Like, how did we not see that?
Well, it's not... And I mean, you know, I'm not the first person to come up with this. It's not so much that he can't shoot, is that he won't shoot, really. And he just seems to have no confidence at all. Like, he seems like Kevin Durant, where he's got this thing where he needs so desperately for people to like him, which is a bad thing to have when you're in Philly, by the way. But Kevin Durant, as much as he needs people to like him, it doesn't affect his game. He's going to play like Kevin Durant no matter what, because he knows he's good. It's just like Ben Simmons forgot that he's started an All-Star game.
There's not a worse case of the yips in any sport history than this, right? This has to be the worst one. Because this is like career-ending yips.
Yeah, no, this is really like... If he was not in the NBA in 2 years, I would not be shocked. Like, can you imagine 3 years ago if someone's like, Markelle Fultz is going to be a better NBA player than Ben Simmons? Like, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, good for Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, figuring it out, you know.
Out of Philly. No one cares in Orlando, so no one watches Orlando, so he can just do his own thing.
Yeah.
You know? Good for him. Because he's been, like, a legit plus NBA player.
Right, yeah.
Not an all-star, but, from what it looked like.
Serviceable NBA player.
Yeah. And for him, that's a win.
Absolutely.
I told you I saw Mikal Bridges at the airport, like, the day after he got drafted, right?
I don't think you did.
So... Well, remember, and you know this, but Mikal Bridges from Philadelphia area played at Villanova. His mom works for the Sixers. Philadelphia drafted him, so that's another small storyline in this Sixers-Brooklyn thing. He's stoked. He's crying. He gets to be in his hometown, play with his mom. As he's crying in the draft room, the ticker comes across, like, traded to Phoenix Suns. But he doesn't know that. He's wearing the Sixers hat. I just felt so bad for the guy.
Oh, my... Yeah, seriously, how... Well, the Sixers did that, excuse me, I was thinking of a different year, the Sixers did do it. They could have drafted Kobe, hometown Philly boy, and they went with Allen Iverson instead. Obviously, Allen Iverson worked out, but, yeah, Philly, man, draft your hometown
draft
kids.
The home players. And, yeah, so the next day I saw, I don't remember why I was at the airport, but Bridges was there, I guess, getting to Phoenix, and I talked to him for, like, 20 seconds, but super nice guy.
Oh, that's cool.
He was my favorite Suns player when I lived in Phoenix, / he played for the Suns.
Yeah.
So, Philly in four? You think five?
No. What? I said that Mikal Bridges might be able to win up a game, but I just don't. I love Royce O'Neal, but he's not going to win a playoff
O'Neal's
game.
O'Neal's great. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Philly takes their foot off the gas after going up, like, 3-0 or something. Or, like, 3-0 or something.
I could see that. And, you know, yeah, James Harden might miss 14 threes or something.
He's done it before.
He has.
Yeah. But I think it'll be a sweep.
Yeah.
So, let's go to the two. So, two versus, we both have Miami as the 7 seed, right?
Yes.
I'm excited about that matchup.
Yeah,
I think
another matchup with some history.
Yeah, and again, Miami's having a down year compared to what they've been in the past. I thought they certainly would be better this year. I am struggling reading this offensive rating chart, trying to find teams here. Maybe I'll just do a control F. But I'm trying to think. Oh, Miami's all the way down at 25, so that's not very good. And Boston's up at number 2. All right. I'd like it to go to 6 or 7. I think there's a world where it does. You know, Miami gets hot. Jimmy Butler, he as much as anyone can have that intense, you know, nothing matters but winning. I'm going to play 48 minutes of intense defense.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately, Boston's too good. I think the best case scenario for Miami is it going to 6, though.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it went to 6. I think this is going to be a sweep pretty easy for the Celtics.
I'd love it to go longer. I'm going to say 5 just because I'm going to try to will a Miami win in there just because I like Jimmy Butler. But, yeah, I don't think it'll be close.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. A lot of draw, like, Miami and Boston, that's a good matchup, though.
Yeah, good, nice historical matchup.
So that would mean Milwaukee is playing. I have Chicago. You had Toronto or Atlanta?
I had Toronto. I don't know if either of us thinks that... I think this one is going to be the easiest sweep.
Yeah, we were so excited about the matchups, then we're like, sweep five games, like, for all these.
Well, just like the reasons that they're
playing. Yeah, they're, like, very, every game except, even, like, Milwaukee and Toronto or Chicago has some, you know, rivalry to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that being a sweep. I could see Chicago winning a game, though, like, on their home court, LaVine gets hot, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I just think that the Bucks are just so experienced in the playoffs that...
I'll pick Milwaukee in five. Okay. I'll pick the Bulls to win a game.
I'm going
to
pick them in four.
Let's go to the West. I think the first round is going to be more not chalk in the West here. So let's start same thing. We'll start 3-6. Or we'll start 4-5 because that's what we did in the East. So that's Phoenix and the Clippers. If Paul George... are you serious? The Dodgers just hit another home run. We're watching the Dodgers-Giants game. Max Muncy plays better against the Giants than, like, well, A, against any other team, and B, if you extrapolated his stats against the Giants to, like, a full season, he'd be, like, all-pro, all-star, whatever.
Right.
Historic, great player. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. And against Logan Webb, too, is not ideal. It didn't even really look like a great hit. Like, it didn't really look like it got much of the ball, but...
He is so... And I think, because I'm not watching baseball unless it's the Giants or the Dodgers.
Uh-huh.
So, in my head, Max Muncy's like Mike Trout good, when in reality, he bats like 220 or something like that.
Right.
But he's just so good against the Giants. Okay, Phoenix Suns, LA Clippers... If Paul George was available, I would be all in on this. Phoenix hasn't lost since they got Kevin Durant. They haven't been world beaters, but at the same time, they haven't lost. I think there's a chance it goes to six, but I think Phoenix wins. I think it'd still be a comfortable six, even if it does get there.
Yeah, it would be a comfortable six. I would. I think it's going to be five. I think the Clippers do end up winning one game. Just ultimately, like, this Clippers experiment has not worked. And then they don't have draft picks, so they've not been able to bring in any young talent with that at all.
I'm kind of surprised it hasn't worked. I thought, you know, on paper before, like, when the trade for Paul George happened, Kawhi and Paul George is one of the best wing duos in recent memory.
Uh-huh.
On paper.
Right.
Just injuries. Best ability is availability.
Yeah, I mean, just so... And those players are both so good defensively. Both good three-point shooters. You just have to think that, you know, looking where Brooklyn is now, looking where the Clippers are now, looking at where the Lakers are now, you just have to think that in the next few years, teams are going to think a lot harder about trading four draft picks at a time.
Sets you back. Especially if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Now, Sacramento, Golden State, Northern California game. I guess they'll fly because they're NBA teams, but they could take the bus if they wanted to. But
they could. I mean, that's
they're
probably...
They're going to fly, though.
Hour and a half, do you think?
Yeah, a couple hours, depending on traffic. Yeah. Probably takes longer to get from Oakland to San Francisco than it does from Sacramento to Oakland.
Or as long.
Just because of the traffic. Remember, we were stuck on the Bay Bridge for like 2 hours that one, after the Giants game that one night.
Well, that's because they were doing construction at 10 p.m. at night after a baseball game. Which, like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Very poorly planned. It's weird. So, Howard Beck from Sports Illustrated, he's interviewed a bunch of people, media members, and when they think about teams that are going to win the West, he says the replies are Phoenix, Golden State, the Lakers. No one's picking Denver, Sacramento, or Memphis. And I get Memphis. I get Sacramento to an extent, but what a story. I feel like we should be giving more credit to Sacramento, who are the New York Jets of the NBA, and are having a very good season. Everyone mocked them after the Haliburton trade, but Sabonis has been really good for them.
Yeah.
It's been good with De'Aaron Fox. Now, ultimately, I am going to pick the Warriors to win this series just because not going to bet against Steph Curry against the Kings.
Right.
But they had a very good year, especially considering no one thought they would. And, again, Haliburton's been an all-star as well, so it's not like they won that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But Sabonis is a really good fit there as well.
Yeah, well, that's fine that they had a great season. I think part of the reason nobody's picking them is I think we've just seen that you need playoff experience to win these playoff series. The Kings have none. Hardly anybody on their rosters had a playoff game, and then the Warriors are the Warriors, you know. So It's basically impossible that they lose in the first round.
Yeah, so you're picking Golden State as well?
Yeah, I'll pick them in six, you know, because Sacramento does have home court advantage. I think Sabonis can maybe give them trouble a little bit better than some other players. And then, you know, I like De'Aaron Fox, and so I think that I'll say six, but I think Golden State does win.
I'll pick Golden State in six as well. Now, speaking of players who no one in the NBA likes, we get to the Memphis Grizzlies playing who we both think will be the Lakers, and everyone hates Dylan Brooks. Yes. Including fans, I think.
Yeah.
I started with that flop when he was at Oregon against Utah, and it's just kind of gone downhill from there.
Yeah, just kind of a weird dude, you know? And, like, well, the reason, like I get this one because he's so vocal and he, like, does visible things that are annoying. Like, the Rudy, I just don't see it, which is why it's so weird. But, yeah, I understand why people do not like Dylan Brooks.
I think from a Memphis perspective, a lot of people were high on them, and then the Ja Morant incident happened. We can call it whatever we want. He stepped away. And I think we all just kind of give up on Memphis, and I'm not super in on them either. They've been not, I don't want to say dysfunctional, because I don't want to compare it to the Timberwolves, but they just got a lot going on. Young team who does have playoff experience, but I just think they're getting unlucky having to play the Lakers, who, like you said, have a lot of upward momentum, and I think the Lakers are going to ultimately win this, I'll say in six as well.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Memphis is just so talented. I mean, I don't think the Lakers really have anybody that's going to guard Ja. You know, having Jaren Jackson Jr. is nice, but Anthony Davis is still probably better. And I don't know, man. LeBron is LeBron. So this is the one that I'm least sure about. I do think I'm going to pick the Lakers just because, you know, I still think in a playoff series, LeBron is probably the third player I would want the most. I think you have to pick Kevin Durant and Giannis ahead of him. But, yeah, I got to go with the Lakers, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I'm relatively confident picking the Lakers to win that. And then last matchup would be Denver, who I think we both decided Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Yeah. I think this could be another sweep. But there has to be a series that goes to seven, right?
I don't know if there has to be, especially if there's so many in the East that do.
Yeah, I mean, nothing in the East. I think in the West, though, I could see Sacramento and Golden State. I could see either Sacramento and Golden State or Memphis and the Lakers going to seven, even though I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I don't think Denver has a tough time with Oklahoma City.
No, I think that is
a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah, I think the Thunder could have a game where they play with a lot of energy and they're just hitting all the right shots at the right time. So I'm going to pick the Nuggets in five.
Okay. Cool. Nuggets in five. So let's circle back to the East. And I was going to say let's go to the finals, but we picked the same thing, so we can just pick. I guess picking who we think will be in the conference finals would be that. So we would have Milwaukee playing Cleveland and Philly playing Boston. I think Milwaukee would beat Cleveland. Cleveland had a good run, good season, but Milwaukee would be relatively comfortable there. And I think the matchup of the whole playoffs could be Philly-Boston, at least for that second round. It'll be intense.
Yeah, it's going to be the intense. It's going to be the tightest for sure. I think the Celtics have more talent. I think they've played better this season. Jason Tatum is a huge all-star. So, yeah, I've got to pick the Celtics. With the Bucks, I'm really tempted to pick the Cavs. I don't quite think I can do it because of how experienced the Bucks are. I am going to say that this Bucks-Cavs series goes to seven, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think Donovan Mitchell is that good, and he's even better in the playoffs. They've got good big guys. They've got Darius Garland, and so, yeah, I think that the Cavs just have a lot of really dangerous weapons, and they're going to be able to use them in the playoffs.
Now, if you look at net rating, Cleveland is at second behind Boston, and Milwaukee's at fifth. So still very good, but Cleveland maybe getting a tiny bit underrated. Cleveland also has a better offense efficiency rating and very comparable to defensive efficiency rating compared to Milwaukee. So maybe you're onto something. I'm still going to pick Milwaukee there. comfortably. So I think that's, we haven't really differed too much. That's really the biggest difference we have, just how long that series would last.
Right.
If we look at the West, so Denver, Phoenix, and then Golden State, Lakers, that'd be some good matchups as well. I would pick Phoenix to beat Denver. And, ooh, I want to pick Golden State, but I kind of don't want to pick against, I'm just, the Lakers, I think, have been playing really well. I think I'd pick the Lakers in seven to beat Golden State, and then Phoenix in six to beat Denver.
I think, yeah, it's just, it's weird. It's such a weird thing. I think the Warriors would beat the Lakers. I'm going to actually think that would be probably six games where that happens. And then I think the Nuggets, I think I'm going to put the Nuggets in the finals. Just because, you know, Jokic is so good. And, like, the Warriors are having an off year. The Lakers have momentum, but they're still kind of the Lakers, you know. And the Grizzlies have problems. And, like, the Suns haven't had time to gel necessarily. So I think it's going to be the Nuggets or the Suns. I'm going to give it to the Nuggets just for experience.
Okay. So that's where we differ. So I have Phoenix, Lakers conference finals. You have Nuggets, Warriors. Let's hop back to the East, where we both have Milwaukee playing Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to go with Milwaukee in seven. I want to pick Boston, but I think it comes down to Giannis is the best player. I've used that excuse a couple times when making these picks. I think Boston even probably has a deeper team, but I trust Giannis to make a couple plays. When one or two games is going to come down to Giannis, and I think that'll be the difference for Milwaukee.
Yeah, this I truly think this is a coin toss. It's so hard to tell, and like I'm not.
There's gonna be one or two games that come down the wire, and either one team makes a play or one team doesn't make a play, and that'll decide the series.
Yeah, so I'll just for interest's sake, I'll pick the Celtics because I truly do not have a preference in this series. All right,
cool. Now in the West, I'm gonna pick Phoenix to beat the Lakers. I'm really high on this Phoenix team. Devin Booker getting to be the number two. I think he is a legit number one and went to the finals as a number one. But having him be a second best player, second best scorer, Chris Paul doesn't have to do anything other than be a point guard, true point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. It takes a lot of pressure. Kevin Durant, like every question mark I had with Phoenix, too much scoring pressure on Devin Booker, too much pressure on Chris Paul to create offense. Kevin Durant takes away from that in a good way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick Phoenix to get to the finals, and I'll pick him in six. It'd be a lot less, but because of LeBron.
Sure, yeah, no, I'll pick Nuggets in six over Phoenix. I just think I agree with everything you said about Phoenix. I just don't think they've had enough time to play together. You know, and obviously, you know, we've seen teams that have not been together for very long win the NBA finals, but usually we mean more than eight games too.
Yeah,
you know, and so I think this is the year the Nuggets figured out.
Okay, so you have Nuggets, Celtics, and I have Suns, Bucks. So I got a rematch of, what was that, 2021? I always mix years up.
Yeah, because it was the Olympic year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was 2021, huh? Because of COVID.
That's going to be a good trivia question in 30 years.
What year was the 2020 Olympics?
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I came into this going to pick Milwaukee, but right now I'm thinking Phoenix Suns. They're going to rematch, get revenge on Milwaukee, and I'll go Suns in seven.
I think I'm going to go with the Eastern Conference team. I'm going to go with the Celtics. I just think the East teams are so much better put together than the West teams. You know, I don't really have questions about the teams in the East than I do in the West, so. So I will pick the Celtics, and I would certainly pick the Bucks to beat the Nuggets. So,
okay. Dope. So you got Celtics over Nuggets, and then I got Suns over Milwaukee. So we were exact same for the first two rounds, and we went completely different.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited. I love the NBA playoffs. It's going to be awesome basketball. Really excited for that. So we'll stay up to date on that as the playoffs get going here as well. I think the NBA playoffs are fantastic. Any playoffs are great, but I love the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, NBA playoff basketball is a lot of fun.
Oh, David Peralta plays for the Dodgers. Everyone was so high on the Padres, and we keep forgetting how good the Dodgers are.
Yeah.
Which I hate, but it's just a reality, you know?
Yep.
Let's get into the top five.
Let's do it.
And it is mostly basketball. Here's what I did. So it's the top five playoff runs of all time. Now, this is for an individual.
For an individual.
Individual playoff runs, multiple playoff. It can be a couple games. It can be a whole series, whatever. But top five playoff performances for a whole year. Number five, and I don't think you're going to have this one. Well, I know you won't because I didn't tell you what we were doing before. So you're going to have to scramble a little bit.
Deal.
But Tracy Porter, New Orleans Saints defensive back 2009. Picked off Brett Favre in the NFC Championship to send that game to overtime. Then he had to pick six against Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Just two of the biggest interceptions in playoff history.
Yeah.
Same back-to-back, win the NFC, win the Super Bowl. I think it's the Saints' only Super Bowl. They only have one, I think. Right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He got Drew Brees a Super Bowl. He got Reggie Bush a Super Bowl. Now, the Colts won. Like, the Saints would have won, I think, without that interception, but that sealed it. I think the Vikings, if that's not picked off, if that's just incomplete, have a very good shot of winning that game. So,
sure, yeah.
Number five is Tracy Porter. The rest of them are going to be a lot more recognizable, I think, but let's give Tracy Porter his due. Number four is Michael Jordan in 91. So, the 91 playoffs, he averaged 31 points, 6.4 rebounds, 8.4 assists a game. Shot over 50%, about 52% exactly. And he had eight games where he scored 30-plus points. He had at least 28 points in every game in the finals in 91. So Michael Jordan, number five. Or excuse me, number four. Kemba Walker at UConn is number three.
I forgot college. Yeah.
There's a lot.
There is a lot, yeah.
Now, Kemba Walker, UConn won the Maui Invitational that year. Won the Big East, went five, and they were like a low seed, so they had to play five games in a row.
Uh-huh.
Kemba Walker was on a tear, and then obviously he dominated March Madness. I think he's more impressive in the Big East tournament, but ran through March Madness, played in the worst national championship game possible against Butler, and we talked about that last week.
Yes, yeah.
But Kemba Walker was insane in tournament situations for UConn. So he's number three. Number two is LeBron James in 2015, the year they lost to the Warriors. He's the only one who didn't end up winning on my list. Led both teams in points, rebounds, assists, and steals.
Uh-huh.
And me and you were watching that separately because I was actually living in the Bay Area at that point, but we were talking about it. And really the finals, but even that whole run, like the Bulls series, we weren't alive for, like, we were alive, but not present and conscious for Michael Jordan's prime.
Yes.
It is hard to think anyone can play better than LeBron.
Yeah, I mean.
Based off of that.
Yeah, it's just so. Yeah, it's hard to think anybody could be better. Like, it was like perfect basketball.
Just so blatantly the most dominant player. Anyone could be dropped in who had never seen basketball before and just tell, like, that player is so much better than everyone else. And he was playing. Kevin Love was hurt. Kyrie was hurt. So Dellavedova was the second best player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Warriors won in five, but it was like a close five.
It was, yeah.
And, like, he had no shot. He was just doing everything. So that was number two. Number one.
I know who number one is.
Yeah, number one's obvious. No-brainer.
Yeah. And I'm sure our listeners know who it is, too.
I don't. Yeah. Well, I mean, if they know me, they do for sure. 2014. World Series, Madison Bumgarner. ERA is like 0.52 throughout the whole playoffs. He has the best World Series ERA in history, which think of that. Let's just take a moment how insane that is.
Yeah.
All time World Series history, Madison Bumgarner's lowest ERA. When he came in the fourth inning of Game 7 after pitching Game 5, the whole stadium in Kansas City got dead silent.
Uh-huh.
And we were watching it together. We just knew it was game over.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, no doubt, he allowed one hit. It was in the ninth inning. It should have been a single, but the center fielder overplayed it, so it ended up being a triple. But it should have been a, like, one, really, he gave up a single that ended up being a triple.
Uh-huh.
Allowed one hit and just dominant. Speaking of willing your team to win, without him, the Giants don't even make the World Series, let alone win the World Series. He dominated in the wild card game against Pittsburgh that year. Cruised through the NLCS and NLDS. I know I said those the opposite way. And the Giants just hit a home run. But, and same thing with LeBron. Like, when you, baseball I think is hard to watch, but like if you were in that stadium or even watching on TV, you could feel just all the excitement left that stadium.
Just, and it wasn't even fear. It was just like, we lost.
Yeah, just like,
no hope.
No hope. And the Royals were beating up the Giants pitching, too. That's why they had to bring him in so early.
Yeah.
So after pitching game one and game five, he went and pitched from the fourth inning through the end of the game and gave up one hit.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely incredible.
It's honestly not even, I don't think it'll be replicated in baseball just because it's such an impressive thing. And it's so hard, especially with like workloads and going through, like most pitchers don't get to go through the rotation a third time.
Uh-huh.
Like just, and Buster Posey in his retirement speech talked about the, just like the energy that was just zapped out of the stadium when he walked in.
Yeah.
I love it. Madison Bumgarner is the coolest athlete ever.
Amazing World Series.
So that's number one. I think if you have the best ERA, and I think statistically, any, not even pitching, but best World Series player of all time gets you the number one spot.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think that's very, very fair.
Yeah. So that's my list. Playoff runs. Tracy Porter, Michael Jordan, 91, Kemba Walker, LeBron, in 2015, and Bumgarner in 2014.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what year Kemba Walker was. 2010, I think. 2011.
Yeah, one of those years for sure. Okay, cool. Very good. So this is one where Jake did not give me any warning beforehand.
I did and ask.
I told him I wanted to be surprised. I did not know that this would be something that was so broad and would probably have required research.
Yeah, I should have just told you. That was my bad.
Yeah, that's okay. I did put some names. And I was writing them down quick. I tried to do ones that were different from you just for interest's sake. But there were a couple that I had on here before you talked that have to go in no matter what. So first, I'm going to say, you can tell me if I need to make this an honorable mention. But just for fun, I'm going to use playoffs in kind of a loose sense of the term. And I'm going to say Usain Bolt in the 200 meters in the 2008 Olympics. Because each round, you know, people get eliminated. There's four different rounds.
Okay, that's a stretch, but we'll allow
it. It's kind of a playoff.
No, it is. You have to win, or not win, but you have to qualify through a few heats.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. And it was just so... Well, and the fun thing about that is nobody knew who this guy was until May, except for me, but that's besides the point. And he was just so clearly the best runner there. It was just phenomenal. To watch. So we're going to put him at number five. Number four, I'm going to put TJ Warren. I know that the Pacers did not go particularly far.
A deep pull.
Yeah. but yeah, he was in the bubble. He was averaging like 35 points or something. I didn't look it up, but he just played. He scored 53 points in one game. And so for someone who truly nobody knew who he was before the bubble starts, to go and play so great, get yourself a lot of money.
NC State grad.
Yeah, I think that puts him on there.
Okay.
So I got TJ Warren at four.
I wouldn't even thought of that. So that's a good, that's a deep one.
Yeah. So number three, I've got Nick Foles. My man Nick Foles.
Okay, I don't think he was even the best player on the offense, but go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, just I guess because I didn't have time, I was taking this as someone like, okay, who did really well, who really, really stepped up in a playoff situation? And so for a backup quarterback who almost retired a few years before, I think going through all of the playoffs, playing, you know, well enough, like you said, maybe not the best offensive player on the team.
Most remarkable, for sure, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, best story.
In the Super Bowl, I think he was the best player on the
played
field.
Very well in Super Bowl.
He had a phenomenal Super, and not just the Philly special. He had a lot of really, really great plays.
I think that's probably, and I don't want to say it just because it's so high scoring. I do like watching defense, but I think that's been the best Super Bowl in a long time.
It was a really fun Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, for you, you're an Eagles fan, so definitely.
Yeah. Right, but it was
objectively it was an entertaining Super Bowl.
But there was this sense that Tom Brady got the ball back with like a minute and 30 seconds left, and it was like, oh, I don't know about this.
And then Brandon Graham had the strip, though, right?
And then Brandon Graham had the strip, yeah.
What a guy.
So it was great. So there was defense in there.
We should rank the best Super Bowls one time.
That would be harder for me than it would for you, but I could give it a go.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, I'll look it up, and then I'll kind of remember things.
Yeah.
Okay. And then 1 and 2, we won't spend too much time in there. LeBron James, 2015, absolutely phenomenal for all of the reasons you talked about. Absolutely should have been MVP.
Was 100%.
So clearly the best player on the court.
Well, how could you not be the most valuable if you led both teams in every stat?
Yeah.
Both teams.
Right. Yeah, so that's just, yeah, there's nothing else to say. And then number one, I have Madison Bumgarner. I only have Madison Bumgarner ahead of LeBron James because he won his series. And truly, Madison Bumgarner is the only person that I put in the same category of Usain Bolt, where he went out on that field and it was just like, nobody is going to be able to hit this guy.
No.
And it wasn't like, I don't think this is going to happen. It's like, I know this. Like, it's not possible for them to hit off this dude.
I've never seen anything but like that in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, in the World Baseball Classic, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, you didn't know what was going to happen.
Yes.
Like, and that, you knew what was going to happen.
Right. And the Royals were stacked that year. They had so many good hitters.
Well, they dominated all the games the Giants didn't pitch Bumgarner in. Like, they were a really good team. And they went, the next year, they went and won the 2015 World Series.
Yeah.
Like, a very good ball club, very good.
Yeah, phenomenal team.
Yeah. And, man, Bumgarner, though. If you should watch, and this will be one of those real things we put out, but 2014 Madison Bumgarner, or even people talking about it as much as the actual highlights, you just, it's, yeah, unbelievable. Like, reverence, yeah, that people say.
As someone who is not really a baseball fan, that was probably the first time of like, oh, watching pitching is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
No, it was so intense. Man, what a guy. I think he's happy in Arizona, but I miss him in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Arizona fits his personality a little better, though.
Yeah. Glad he's happy.
Yeah, glad he's happy. Now, speaking of, we'll close the show with this, but you remember, speaking of Giants playoff runs, what McKay, our roommate, did in 2016 when I was watching that game?
I do remember this.
So, the 2016, the Giants are playing the Mets in the wild card game. This is when there's one wild card, one game playoff, and Madison Bumgarner is pitching for the Giants. The Mets are pitching, I think, Syndergaard? Or DeGrom. It was Syndergaard or DeGrom. It was like scoreless game through the seventh inning pitching duel. And like Matt said, it was an entertaining pitching duel. Like, if you're watching these stars, it is entertaining to watch them do their work. My roommate, not into baseball at all, but he's watching the game with me on the couch and we're just kind of chatting. We wanted to pull something up on YouTube. So I was like, yeah, a commercial. Let's watch it for sure. And ESPN did one of those things where it like panned out to the outfield and did like a promo for like whatever. Uh-huh. And he thought that was a commercial. So he grabbed the remote and flipped the channel. And I didn't want to be rude and say anything. So, they'd been scoreless. So I was like, okay, whatever. And then literally like a minute. We come back to the game. And Connor Gillespie, the Giants third baseman, is trotting the bases. He just hit a 3-run home run. And it was the only scoring of the whole game. And I was just, I wasn't mad. I was just like, because I was happy, obviously.
Right.
But I was like, are you kidding me? I missed that. The 30 seconds of the game I'm not watching.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah, I mean, baseball, soccer is the most like that, where it's like you miss one goal and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Baseball, it is the next sport below that, for sure.
Can be like that, for sure, yeah. Yeah, well, especially because soccer, there's always something going. Baseball, and it's not like this is much anymore, but they're, like, taking their gloves off. They're, you know, changing pitchers. There's a lot of not action in baseball. So if you do miss a little bit of the action, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But that's our show. Appreciate everybody listening. We haven't done as much NBA stuff this year, but we'll do a bunch of stuff, at least little things, as we're going through the NBA playoffs. And this will be all on, you know, we'll put some stuff on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. It's either at JacobCowden28 on TikTok. Everything else is at MJ Doubletake. That, like, YouTube is Doubletake with Matt and Jake. Instagram, Twitter is at MJ Doubletake. Some video clips of this as well. Obviously, where you listen to your podcast, feel free to subscribe, leave a 5-star review. Getting close to NFL draft season, I'm hoping to have my article done by next episode. We'll see. It's kind of a, not as busy, but still just some stuff going on with work. So we'll see. But I do appreciate everybody listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.